Chapter 11, K for Know the Lord. It is a beautiful thing that the Lord God desires a relationship with us, and that he knows us so well. We read in Psalms 139 that he knows where we are and what we are thinking, and every word we speak, verses 2 and 3. Moses was assured that God knew him by name, Exodus 33, verse 17. And in Acts we read that he knows the hearts of all, chapter 1, verse 24. Such an intimate relationship is not one-sided, but requires that we in turn seek to know our Father, just as he knows us. This is possibly the most important aspect of our discipleship, since we cannot truly imitate and follow and obey God if we do not know first who he is and what he is like. The Lord our God is one. The most fundamental tenet of our faith is a recognition that the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. And besides him, there is no God and no Savior. Isaiah 45, verse 5, and Hosea 13, verse 4. We must steer clear of the humanistic thinking of the modern world, which tells us that we are our number one and encourages us to worship material wealth and possessions. There can only be one God in our lives. Before him, no God was formed, nor shall there be any after him. Isaiah 43, verse 10. He is all-powerful, verse 13, and by his power the earth was created and is sustained. The whole earth and all of its inhabitants, past, present, and future, belong to him. Psalm 24, verse 1. God does not expect us to believe in him blindly, along with ample evidence in creation and world history to prove his existence. A knowledge and appreciation of his character and his power is garnered from our own experience and the well-documented experiences of those who have gone before us. Interestingly, a knowledge of the Lord is often qualified in Scripture by the words then or that. God promised to provide food for the children of Israel, saying, "Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God," Exodus 16, verse 12. He established the Sabbath as a sign between God and man, "that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you," chapter 31, verse 13. God performed signs and wonders, fighting on Israel's side and bringing them out of Egypt, that they might know that the Lord is God, there is no other beside him, Deuteronomy 4, verse 35. In the same way, God is powerfully working in our lives, that we may know that he is the Lord, he is in control, and with him all things are possible, Matthew 19, verse 26. This is eternal life. Jesus' powerful declaration in John 17 shows us just how important it is to know God. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Verse 3. Yet it is not enough merely to say that we believe in God and know what he is like. Titus warns of those who profess to know God but deny him by their works. Chapter 1, verse 16. The knowledge that we have must lead to action. We must strive to imitate God and the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do, putting into practice everything we know. And there is so much that we do know. Scripture tells us that God is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, faithful, loving, and forgiving. Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. The Bible abounds with passages that show what it means in practice. All of these characteristics are evident throughout God's dealings with mankind in both the Old and New Testaments. We also have the perfect example of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shows us that it is possible for a human being to apply godly characteristics in life. He demonstrated to us how to go beyond mere head knowledge and to show God's love in everything we do. It is this demonstration of love that is so important, because we are told that God is love, and that anyone who does not love does not know God, 1 John 4, verse 8. The opposite must therefore also be true. Anyone who shows this love knows God. The world does not know God. The reason why the world does not know us, writes John, is that it did not know him, 1 John 3, verse 1. It can be hard to live in an age and a culture that has no time for God and doesn't understand faith, hope, and a godly perspective on life. We may find ourselves criticized, mocked, or discriminated against because of our beliefs and attitude to life. But we know that this is nothing new. The Lord Jesus experienced rejection, scorn, and abuse because he stood up for God's ways, showed remarkable integrity, and quietly turned the other cheek. In spite of all this, Jesus chose to forgive those who wronged him. They did so in their ignorance, and they did not know who he really was, and they had lost sight of who God was. We too must be willing to forgive those who ridicule our faith, and we must also be prepared to accept persecution and hardship for the sake of the gospel. If the world did not know Jesus 2,000 years ago, why should we expect things to be any different now? Surely we have a responsibility to do everything we can to teach those we come in contact with about God. They do not know him, but we do. We know without a shadow of a doubt that God exists and that he rewards those who seek him with eternal life. Hebrews 11, verse 6 and Romans 6, verse 23. God has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. We are the light of the world, a city on a hill. Matthew 5, verse 14. This is our God-given light, and we ought to shine it into the world with all our might. Test everything. We must not, however, expect that the world will want to listen. In Exodus 5, verse 2, Pharaoh stated emphatically, "I do not know the Lord." Along with most of the Gentile population, he had no interest in seeking the one true God. Sadly, such an attitude is reflected by many in the world today. Even those who do profess to know God and the Lord Jesus have largely lost sight of what the Bible teaches. They have their own ideas about the nature and character of God and rely heavily on the traditions of men. Such corruption of knowledge is not new. By the time of Malachi, even those who should have been spiritual leaders had lost sight of who God really was. The priests had become corrupt and were apparently oblivious to the fact that they were no longer serving or pleasing God with their tainted rituals. We might not be like Pharaoh, utterly denying the existence of God, but perhaps we sometimes share the attitude of the priests. They once knew God and his laws, but somewhere along the way, they stopped referring back to the law of Moses and instead relied on their own writings and new and improved rituals and man-made traditions. How much do you and I rely on second or third-hand information about God? How much importance do we place on traditions, which, while probably harmless, are man-made and not founded on Scripture? Unless we seek guidance directly from Scripture, how do we know that the God we worship is the God of the Bible? It is extremely important that we read the Scriptures thoroughly, regularly, and purposefully, testing everything we hear, read, or think to see whether it matches up with what the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21. A 21st century warning. Even if we base our knowledge of God entirely on what we read in the Bible, and hopefully we all do, there is still the very real danger that we are reading with a strong 21st century bias. Today's world is obsessed with unity, equality, peace, war, political correctness, animal rights, human rights, and self-promotion, to name just a few issues. Morals are important, but are our morals based on what we know about the world or what we know about God? The one we serve is the same God who commands that whole nations should be destroyed. Example, 1 Samuel 15, verse 3. He required regular animal sacrifice and may reinstitute this in the kingdom age. He expects men and women to undertake different roles and will not tolerate same-sex relationships. These aspects of God's character are widely at odds with the general accepted worldview in Western society. Even some Christians reject the God of the Old Testament because he seems too harsh and brutal. They seek to put a timeless God into a 21st century mold. This is something we must strive to avoid. When we open the pages of Scripture, we must endeavor to cast off all cultural and social bias. We must never approach Bible study with a view to proving our own theory of who God is and what he is like, but must always come with an open mind and heart, desiring to know what the Bible really says about him. This is the only way we can truly come to know God. They shall all know. Of course, even with the greatest determination and the most devoted Bible study, we know that we cannot yet fully grasp God's character and might. Job proclaimed, "Behold, God is great, and we know him not. Chapter 36, verse 26. Like Job, we marvel at the wonders of creation and tremble at God's awesome power. There is so much about him that is beyond our current comprehension, but we look forward to a time when our understanding will be complete. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. Clothed in immortality and given wisdom and understanding when Christ returns, we shall then truly know the Lord. What is more, in those days God will give stubborn Israel a heart to know that he is the Lord, and they will return to him. Jeremiah 24, verses 6 and 7. This is the covenant that I make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. Chapter 31, verses 33 and 34. Not only Israel, but all nations will be given the opportunity to learn God's ways and accept his salvation. Many will seek to know God, saying, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. Isaiah 2, verse 3. It is our firm hope that we shall be there on that day, that we shall be kings and priests with Christ, teaching the nations God's law and helping all to come to a knowledge and understanding of who he is and what he asks of us. At last, the words of Habakkuk's prophecy will have come to pass, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk 2, verse 14. Until that time, let us resolve to share God's promises with everyone we meet, so that they too might know the Lord. For this is life eternal. John 17, verse 3. Questions and suggestions. 1. Do you know God? 2. Do you really? 3. Do you have a tendency to believe the things you read or hear, so long as they don't sound too far-fetched and you deem the source a credible one? Is this wise? 4. In what ways might your view of God be influenced by your culture, modern society, and the media? 5. How could you help others to come to know God?